I've been in more camp meeting the last 2 weeks than I've been in a while. Of course, camp meeting's just starting. We went every night of Brother Troy's, but our church night, we've dismissed on Wednesday night. We didn't go on Sunday night. We had church night, and I missed one other night. Went all the camp meeting but two. Went every night of Long Star, but Friday night, preached at King of Kings. Made it back on Saturday night. It wasn't easy. Didn't get home till it was something before mid, just a little before midnight. And then was talking with, stayed up, studied. And my sister-in-law that's in the hospital at Mountain Home, we talked to them about 1 o'clock, started to go over there, and they thought they was going to fly her to St. Louis. And so we didn't go over there. And this morning, they hadn't got her to St. Louis. Said they couldn't get a bed or something for some reason in the hospital. Then they decided that the doctor told my brother, said, I'll just be honest with you. It isn't going to make no difference where she's at. We don't know what's wrong here, but she's so far gone now. He said, to tell you the truth, she's dead on life support. And so we felt we need to be over there. I apologize we wasn't here this morning. We felt we need to be over there. And things, if God doesn't give her a miracle, she's not going to live. They've got her on life support. Folks, this ought to stir hearts. I'm stirred preaching in the camp meetings. Now, Long Star wasn't a real pull, but I can tell you. Now, preachers may be the only one that understands this spirit. But there were some religious people there that when they're, and some of them was preachers. I said, I'm kind of down on preachers. I can tell you. I'm kind of down on preachers. Jeremiah said, God speaking, that the shepherds led them astray. I'm kind of down on preachers like that. And when you go to matching in that, you can sure get the devil stirred in a hurry. And if they can get something stirred up and folks are shouting, they're right in the middle of that. But the true hard preaching, they'll set their soul up and not say a word. You can walk by and call their name. They'll just look at you. I don't know, but what the devil don't send some of those folks by to stop the service. If they can't get something stirred up in the flesh, then they're going to do their best to stop a move of God. Now, I know that isn't popular in this hour, but I can tell you, folks, I'm stirred up. Now, I'm going to preach it as straight as I've ever preached it. I'm going to preach it hard. If the devil don't like it, I'm still going to preach it. Now, I know he don't. He don't like it. But I thought last night and today, just didn't get hardly any rest at all last night. Got in bed late, got up early, and didn't get hardly any rest. My sister-in-law, 46 years old, as far as I know, has never been no health problems, issues of any kind. Just like you and I, maybe, you know, a little flu virus or something of that sort. Sick for a day or two or something like that. She walks into the hospital, just around 101 fever. They thought that Harrison told her that it was a virus, and she had a touch of colitis or whatever you call that, they thought. And they said at Mountain Home, possibly that's what it is. That virus attacked her liver. But less than 24 hours after she walked in that hospital for them to run tests, she hasn't spoke. Now, since then, her liver's completely shut down. Her kidney's shut down. Her brain shut down. I mean, she shut down. Got her on life support. And I thought, we never know, folks, from one day to the next. You can be young and healthy and here today and gone tomorrow. And I know as one man, I said to him, you ever think about eternity? And you know what he said? I try not to. It makes no difference how much we try to not think about these things. One day, it could very well register home where I live, where you live. And I believe, folks, we're going to need something more then. We're going to need something more. I'm going to continue. I battle the devil so much in my mind, and the devil telling me, folks, getting tired of hearing these series. I know I have to go back sometimes, kind of hit some ground we've already been in to get into a point where we're going. I'm doing my best. I feel like maybe tonight, one more message after tonight. I'll not get done tonight. And I'm not going to guarantee you that one more will get done, but I'm getting close. I'm getting close. When I said earlier, we're nearing the end. Well, we're nearing the end as we know it is time. But I'm nearing the end, I feel, this message, this Lord laid on my heart. And we'll do our best. Some points that God laid on my heart in this. If you want to stand with us in the book of Joshua chapter 7, I'll do my best tonight. And I can tell you, if there's one of you here that's any more wore out than I am, you're in bad shape. You need prayer before we start. As I'm wore slap out, and I'll do my best to not hold you too long tonight. But I want to bring the thought that the Lord laid on her heart tonight in this. If you remember earlier, as we begin to preach, as you're finding Joshua chapter 7, we're going to begin verse number 8. I'll back up and fill you in. That I talked about how that in the victory that Ai typified the flesh. Jericho typified the world. Ai is typifying the flesh. It's much harder for us to get victory over flesh and keep it than it is for us to get victory over the world. I've got this flesh to contend with every day. And I must pray that God, the deliverer, comes and helps me every day. Now, folks, what we're experiencing today, this religious spirit that's moving, we blame the White House for what problems we have, but I blame the church house. I believe judgment must first begin not at the White House, but at the church house. And if it first begin with us, the church. So it has to start here. We've got to pray God help us to get the victory over this flesh. Now, every decision that the White House makes will affect you. It affects our nation. It affects young, middle age, and old. Every decision we make as Christian people does not, somebody says it doesn't affect nobody. It does affect others. If you let down, friend, it'll affect somebody else. If you don't hold the banner up high, it'll affect somebody else. Listen. Chapter 7 of the book of Joshua, chapter 7, verse number 8. Listen to the word of God. This is after a defeat had come. They lost the victory. They thought they had it. Oh, isn't that familiar? Many times we think we got it. Listen what he said here in verse number 8. Joshua speaking, "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel..." Let me back up to verse number 6. "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell upon the earth, his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" You can be seated. Going to stop there. I'll continue, probably take you a little farther in this, but I want you to notice. Now Joshua was one of the 12 that was sent out along with Caleb. When they come back and they had a good report, "We don't want to stay on this side. We've done been where it is. But now, listen, folks, I'm talking about it's hard to keep the victory over flesh." Joshua begins to say unto the Lord, "Lord, have you just brought us over here that we be destroyed? We got victory over the Canaanites, over Jericho, but now here in a little battle, we have fallen. We've turned our backs to the enemy. And what's everybody going to say, the Canaanites and the inhabitants, about when they hear this? What's happened that we've run? We've lost the battle. What's the world going to say tonight? Church, when they hear we've let down on the things that we one time stood for, what's the world going to say? I can tell you, friend, tonight, the world is concerned for the church also. You begin to do. I did a little bit of a survey a few years ago, just an old hillbilly survey. I went around to a few folks that they don't go to church. Probably hadn't been to church in years. And I asked one man, he got cancer, and he went a time or two, and I stopped by, saw him sitting on his porch, and God moved upon my heart, Brother Smith, go back and talk to this man. And I went back and I began to talk to him. And I said, Fred, I hear you're battling with cancer. And he said, yes, I am. And we talked a little bit. And I said, somebody told me you went to church the other night. I said, I'm glad you went. Fred, I said, the Lord's the answer. He said, I know that, Leo. I know that. Hadn't turned his life to the Lord. But I began to talk to him. And I said, can I ask you a question? I said, what did you experience when you went to the house of God a few weeks back? And he said, oh, it's much different than it was when I was a kid. He's about four, five, six, probably 6 years older than myself. Raised up with him. And he said, it's much different than it was when I was a kid. He said, I didn't feel a thing in that service. And he said, really, what was in that service was not a whole lot different than what I experienced right out here in the world. And I began to talk to him, and Brother Smith, tears begin to come in my eyes. And I said, listen, I know everybody's not that way, but as a rule, as a whole, most of the churches, they have turned their backs upon God. And therefore, the enemy, friend, the victory they one time had. Now listen, if a man such as Joshua could get to a place, he's ready now to compromise. Did you hear what I read you in verse number 8 or verse number 7? That Joshua, he took the elders of Israel in verse number 7, and they begin to fall upon their face. They put ashes upon their head, and they begin to cry out to God. But he didn't hear the answer right then. And here's what he began to say. He began to say, God, did you just bring us down here that we be destroyed by the Amorites? And then he said, I would to God we'd just been content and stayed on the other side of Jordan. Listen, folks, God doesn't want us to stay beneath our privileges tonight. He wants us to be willing to fight whether we feel the victory, Brother Larry, whether we don't feel it. God's put an unction in us. He's put the go ye unto all the world inside of us. I didn't tell you it'd be easy, and the Lord didn't tell you that it'd be easy, but he said you're going to go and fight, and God's going to defeat the enemies. As long as you be for God, God will be for you. The sad part of this story, chapter 7 verse 1 begins to talk about how that Joshua sent the spies on out to Ai, go out there and check it out, and let's just see what needs to be done. Number one, he forgot to inquire of the Lord. If you look at the story of Ai, or of Jericho, when he saw the man with the sword in his hand, he knew it was holy ground, because the captain of the Lord's host said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. As he began to say that, you're on holy ground, take off your shoes. Joshua bowed his face to the ground. Well, he did this in chapter 7 and verse number 7. But folks, he did it in a bitter way. He's not doing it in the humbleness, in the humbleness that God had him to in chapter 5. But listen, Joshua, he's just a little bit put out with what God's done. How do you know that? Very plain. Just read the story. He put those sackcloth and ashes upon him, bowed his face to the ground. He's crying out to God. He doesn't get an answer. And the first thing you know, I just wish we hadn't even started this fight. I would to God I'd have been satisfied with what we had on the other side. We'd have never got the victory of Jericho, friend, if we'd have been satisfied on the other side. We'd have never got our sins buried in the depth of Jordan, never to be remembered again, if we'd have been satisfied on the other side of Jordan. I can tell you, friend, that's the mentality of most of the church folks today. When troubles come, they've begin to say, Lord, I don't feel you now. The victory ain't what it was at Jericho. And now I'm just going to say, I would to God I just stayed where I was. The children of Israel said to Moses, and when they said it to Moses, they're saying it to God, you brought us out here but to die in the wilderness. I would to God, I can tell you, these things catch on. I would to God we just stayed in Egypt. At least there we eat garlic and the bread and the leeks. We might have been in bondage, but you brought us out here to die where there's no graves. I would to God we'd have just stayed there. Now Joshua was saying, this is a spiritual leader. Listen, folks, if the spiritual part of the church begins to go down in defeat, why do you think of it when of the Philistines and the Israelites had set a battle in array for 40 days, one on one side of the valley of Elah and one on the other, and the battle had been set in array but no fighting going on? Why? I can tell you why. Because the spiritual leaders afraid. The spiritual leaders going and hiding. Every time the enemy wars, they go and hide because he's terrifying them. I can tell you what the word of God said. God said, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Than he that's in the world. If you look in chapter 6, I believe it's verse number 18, but up toward the latter parts, you can read it all. I can give it to you in a little bit, where he said, see to it. We got to be the one. I can't watch for you, Brother Smith. I can't keep you. If you sin in your heart, there's nothing I can do about that. Now, if I've got you in my presence, and you're bad to, I'm just using you as an example. Is that okay? We use, if I had a thief, if you know somebody's a thief, you watch them. You see something laying there and you turn your head and you just look back real quick and see if they got it. You know it's there. You watch for it. But you can't guard that heart. The word says, guide thy heart with all diligence. For out of it's the issues of life. If you don't guard it, and it takes the Holy Ghost, it takes the Spirit of God to stand guard against that enemy, the foe of your soul. And friend, nobody else can guard. You might help guard against some other things, but you cannot guard against the things that come in and defiles a heart. You can't guard against it. And as Brother Donnie said last night, here's the sad part, folks. It's happening. Computers could be a great thing, I'm sure, but they've been one of the most destructive things to our nation that's ever been. And I don't know but what it won't become the downfall of this world. Why, Brother Donnie stated last night, used to, it was a lot harder. It's the same way folks says, well, if they're going to drink, they'll get it. I can tell you this, if you set it by every door, if you set it, I stopped at Come and Go here a couple of weeks ago, and we'd been getting gas there, and Lord, lo and behold, I pulled up there, pulled out the gas nozzle, and looked, and there was a stack of bush beer that high, 20 feet long. I thought, whoo! Diane, they started selling beer. And I wanted so bad, that place was swamped with people. I wanted so bad to go in there and stand in the line, tell them I didn't get any, I was going to, but I seen something change my mind. But since they're so busy, I just hung the nozzle up and went on my way. Went somewhere else. But listen, I'm not telling you if you buy gas somewhere where they got booze, you'll go to hell for that. But I can tell you if you don't have to, don't do it. We could make a difference today if we would. I believe we need to take a stand today. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, regardless of what everybody else does, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. The victory's there. They leave out in chapter 6. What a great victory. Rahab's family saved. The only ones that survive in this battle of the Canaanites. Not an enemy, or not a one of the Israelites. We have record, not a one of their men of war died in that battle. Why? Because this was a faith battle. God fought this battle. It's by faith. When they went in, I know that they done the killing. When he sent them in, they done the killing. It's up to them now. He said not to touch the accursed thing. You don't take that accursed thing. Here's what he said in chapter 6 and verse number 18. When you do, if you take of that accursed thing, he said, see to it. You got to be the one to do it. See to thyself that thou takes not of the accursed thing. This was something every individual had to know in their own heart and know that God said, don't do it. I can't do it. He said, if you do, he said, you'll make Israel accursed. When you take, you'll make the church accursed. I can tell you, friend, sin in a church that's not dealt with will cause that church to be accursed of God. And he said in that, it'll bring trouble. It'll bring trouble. Why do you think the picture turns? I mean, in just a moment's time, there's way more of the Canaanites inside the walls of Jericho. They are much more equipped for battle. They would have been a lot harder to have defeated. But if God be for us, who can be against us? God's fighting that battle. And now they go in. They go again the words of God. I'm afraid today, friend, that America's been defeated within. Right in the church is being defeated simply because we're allowing things, we're defeating ourselves, because we're allowing things to come in. God cannot bless sin. Amen. God can't bless sin. If God bless sin, he's denying him on his own holiness. He can't bless sin. I'm not telling you that sinners aren't blessed. When we were in sin, Brother Smith, we were blessed just to wake up the next day. But God cannot bless somebody that's called by his name, that calls themselves Christians. He can't bless a sinful living life. He can't do it. That's why, listen what he said, when you begin to take of the world, when you begin to take the things that God said don't do it, and what's so sad today, the majority of the church today is pulling the accursed of the world in and putting it among their own stuff. They're bringing it in the house of God. You remember what happened to Belshazzar when he robbed the house of God, when he went in and he took the vessels of gold, when he went in and he took the precious things that was in the house of God and he put it among his own stuff. He began to pollute the vessels of God by drinking, having a party. But you know what happened? The Bible says he had his last party one night, and at that party there was a handwriting come upon the wall, and it began to say, you've been found in the balance and found wanting. I can tell you, friend, as his knees began to knock, he began to shake. The word of God said judgment come that night, that he died that night. Listen, you can't corrupt the vessel of the Lord. This is the vessel of God, and if we put the things of the world inside the vessel of God and expect God's blessings, I got news for somebody. Judgment's coming to that house. One man by the name of Achan, he caused all of Israel to fall. The sin of one man caused all of Israel to fall. Listen, a sin that's left undealt with will cause the church to fall. A sin in a church that's not dealt with. Are you telling me, preacher, that you have never sinned? No, sir. No, ma'am. I'm telling you, I've got a sinful nature. I've had my old unruly member to get out of jail. I've said things to folks I shouldn't have said. No, I'm not deliberately going out and doing and practicing wrong. No, sir. No, ma'am, God forbid. But I'm telling you, I've got an enemy. I've got to fight that enemy. It's called self, continuously to keep that victory. God gave me the victory, but to keep it, it'll cost me something, Brother Smith. Every day of my life, it'll cost me something. You know what it'll cost me? It'll cost me denying myself, taking up my cross, and following Him. Brother Scott, every day of my life, it'll cost me to die. If I plan on making it, and I don't want to just make it myself, I want to help somebody else to make it in this battle, help run this race. I want to encourage somebody else. I can tell you, I used to be really down on folks more than what I ought to be. I mean, it's good. You never should get to a place that you condone sin, but God forbid we condemn the sinner. And you see, I've been there. Where when I'd see somebody sin, I wouldn't condone that sin, but I'd sure condemn the sinner too. If we're not careful, that's a Pharisee spirit, and that Pharisee spirit will say, well, look what they are. I had a man tell me one time, I didn't know this then, but this man, he was in the United Pentecost. I'm not picking on the United Pentecost, but this man had been married. He was married. Married twice before this woman. He's married to this woman, and she had a stepdaughter. Well, while he's she had a daughter, which would have made it his stepdaughter. While he's married to this woman, he has a child by his stepdaughter. And I'm telling you, this man could pick everything in the world out wrong. Man, they ain't nothing holy about that person. Look at their clothes. Get real quiet, and you'll hear this. Look at their clothes. Look the way they dress. Well, don't they know their preacher's letting down somewhere? He ain't preaching on the clothesline. I can tell you, we better not be letting down anywhere, but something wrong with that man's heart. I said to him one day, when I found this out, I didn't even know it. Well, he finally backslid. Him and his cousins come to our house. It's when Jared was a little old bitty boy, wasn't big as nothing. And remember that when Jared got the new cowboy boots? Jared loved everybody. He was the most lovable kid I ever seen. Of all of our kids, Jared had a different personality than all of them. But for some rare reason or another, Jared went up to that one and kicked his shins as hard as he could with them new cowboy boots. Remember that, Mom? And I was so embarrassed. He's trying to say, he's trying to show you his new boots. That's not a good way to introduce a new pair of boots. But he's kicking his shin. I don't know what that little fella didn't look a little deeper beyond in that man's spirit. And we did. He might have been trying to boot the devil out of him. But little did we know it wasn't. But just a few weeks or probably 2-3 months later, that man that had that holier-than-thou attitude didn't ever miss a church service. He'd be there on time. And here's what he said one day to me. He said, one that's preaching now, they don't believe nobody else is going to heaven if you ain't been baptized the way they are and do it just like they do it. But he said, here's what he said. I'm not picking on the oneness. I'm just simply saying, if we think we're the only ducks in the pond, you know the one's going to make it? The blood bought. They're going to make it. But listen, what he said. He said, we chew them Trinity up and spit them out every day for dinner. Boy, he was good. He was taught in a doctrine just like old Saul of Tarsus was. The only thing I know, he hadn't met the Jesus on the Damascus that Saul met, changed his nature, changed his name. 2 or 3 months down the road, he leaves his wife. And when he leaves his wife, the truth come out how that the girl that's supposed to be in their grandbaby was really his baby. And I thought, my, no wonder. If I'd known that, I'd have helped Jared kick his shins myself when he come in my house. If I'd have known that. But I thought, he run off, he come down there with his cousin, and he's up there helping him in a business, and lo and behold, if he didn't run off with his cousin's wife, what'd that do to the church? I can tell you what it done to the church. Joshua said, it'll trouble it. It's not just affecting that man's life. Listen, folks, I believe God's impressed deep in my spirit. Brother Donnie said something last night that just pulled a chord in my heart. He said, it used to be Now I know, listen, I believe we'd be better off to go extreme in the holiness way than to go extreme in the direction we're going today. He said it used to be if an individual man or woman didn't wear long sleeves, they didn't do nothing. They didn't let them up on the stage. Now we can go a little overboard in some of this stuff. But I can tell you, we'd better go overboard that direction. And he said, now we've reversed it. We've run extreme the other direction. And look what it's cost us. It's troubled the church. It's troubled our nation. And it's caused us to lose a victory that we one time had. Listen, folks, when we begin to touch the accursed thing, it doesn't make any difference what we've been taught. If the Word of God says it, we better stand upon what the book says. Tonight, I believe every one of us, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I believe that every one of us are going to stand there naked before Him. Now I'm going to say, Lord, show mercy, not judgment, I pray. Show mercy, not judgment, I pray. You are too. You are too. There's times, I mean, we can look at things, but listen, folks, I'm not trying to pick on anybody tonight, but if we can keep up 100% in one area, but we let down in another area, we're guilty of every one of them. Now, that's what the Bible says. He said if we commit adultery in our heart, we look upon a woman in lust, we've committed adultery in our heart. We're guilty of a sin that will separate us from relationship with God. Now, I can tell you, there's a flesh nature of every one of us. We have a continuous battle at hand. There's a conflict. And as we read to you earlier in this message, it'll be the defeat of the enemy that we're battling with before we get the entire victory. And the sad part of this, when you defeat the devil today, he don't stay defeated. We sang that old song. I will not be defeated. I will not be defeated. I will not be defeated anymore. And I'll tell you what the devil's doing. He's singing that same song you're singing. He changed the words of it a little bit. But you defeat him today. What he's doing, he's going rubbing his wounds. And he's saying, I'm going to wait till they let down their guard. And when the Spirit of the Lord's not there to bring up a standard against me, when I come again, I'm coming in and I'm going to make havoc. When they attack Ai, that religious spirit, now they're going in the flesh. The Spirit of the Lord's not going before them. God hadn't commanded this battle at all. God saw the cursed thing's been taken right in the church. It's got to be dealt with. Sin has to be dealt with. He'll defy His holiness. If He blesses sin, He can't do it. I can tell you, we've got to the place we thought we could fight the battles and win. And in some battles, we have fought it in the flesh and won. But I can tell you, this is a battle that will be fought in the spirit with spiritual artillery. And we're coming into a time, church, that we must fight this fight of faith and with everything God's placed in our care. And if we touch the accursed thing and bring it in among our stuff and try to use the things God said it's forbidden to do, I can tell you what it'll do. It'll bring a curse upon the church, upon your house, upon our nation, and we'll be defeated in the next battle. Joshua didn't understand. Let me tell you why he didn't understand. Chapter 5, he sought the Lord. Chapter 3, they were sanctified. They set apart. I mean, they consecrated their life to God. Nothing we do makes any difference, but what you do will make all the difference in the world. Amen. Chapter 4, when they come across, and chapter 3 and 4, and then chapter 5, God begins to direct the battle for the Canaanites to be defeated. He'd already laid out the blueprint. I said to you earlier in this message, it had to be done exactly the way God said for it to be done. Can't be anything left out. Do you know that the Word says that everything that God spoke for Moses to do was done and nothing was left undone? I believe that's the way our life has to be, folks. If anything's left undone, we're going to be in a sad shape when we stand before Him. And here, They go in with confidence, knowing God's done laid the blueprint out. Well, if we're not careful, now I want you to get this, and I'm going to try to come to a close here in a little bit. Don't want to worry you tonight. If we're not careful, we get a revival spirit moving. We have a service or two. I mean, when the Holy Ghost doodaddies is as big as a big enough, Brother Raymond Wright says you can hang a milk bucket on them. We're just feeling goosebumps all over the back of our head, or hair standing up. We have them kind of services. First thing you know, we come into the next service. We're expecting it to be the same thing. We have not inquired of God direction. Well, God, you've done it before. Joshua said, go on down there and check it out. Come back and let me know. Verse 2 and 3. Well, they come back and said, piece of cake. Don't worry about this. We don't even need to trouble all the men. Just saying 2,000 or 3,000. They're just a little people. Be no problem. And they send them out. Verse 4, 5. The Bible states they fled before their enemy. Yeah. And in that, they followed them. Do you know when the devil gets you on the run, he don't stop? He followed them to the going down of the sun, and he killed 36 of them before they all got away. Yeah. And in that, the Bible says, the children of Israel's heart melted and ran like water. Does that sound familiar? Of the Canaanites, when they're looking and seeing, they saw that Jordan part. They saw the memorial brought to Gilgal, a typifying victory. And the Bible says their hearts melted and ran like water. There was no more courage in them. They began to weep and cry. They knew they was in a heap of trouble, but they knew God's going before. It wasn't altogether the children of Israel, but the Bible says they feared the God of the children of Israel. But when they got down to Ai, hey, something different in the atmosphere. The spirit of victory's not there. The shout of mastery is not there. And they recognized it's a carnal spirit we feel. We don't have to fear the carnal. We'll fear the spiritual God of Israel, but we don't have to fear the carnal. And now they defeated them, ran them off. Nobody likes to. You know, some of the best messages I ever preached when I couldn't preach a lick. Some of the best songs I ever sang when I forgot my song. Come on. But some of the best times I ever played licks on that old guitar that I can't even hear most of the time, Brother Larry's, when I was in the wrong key. Oh, really? Yes, sir. Well, something ain't right here. Brother Arliss, what are you doing? Somebody's messing up. You ever do that? That's some of the best times I've ever played. It's when it comes on. What key are we in anyhow? We're in the key of G. Oh, no wonder I'm playing an A. I'm playing out of chord. I'm not even nowhere near with them. I ain't been a bit of help. I'm just dragging along doing damage. And when God helps me to realize that, folks, this battle ain't mine, but it's God's battle. I can't conquer this victory. I can't conquer in this battle. And that's the very problem. When they got down there to Ai, Ai didn't fear them and had not a lick of reverence. You know the reason why Jericho was defeated as it was? They feared the God they served. They were defeated because they began to cry out and fainted. There's no more strength or courage left in them because they knew God was a God that destroyed the Egyptians. But Ai didn't feel that, folks. When I was a youngster, let me give you this as I'm coming to a close tonight. When I was a youngster, I remember going into services, Pentecostal churches and even Free Will Baptist churches where the power of God would be moving, Brother Smith, and you'd feel such a spirit of conviction there, that there was such a holy reverence there, that folks would come in power and in unity. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's power. I can tell you, I didn't feel that at all. They felt a bunch of carnality. Folks, it says we whipped the Canaanites real easy. These ain't going to be anything. It's not going to be any kind of battle. No need to cause everybody to labor. I can tell you, folks, we need everybody fighting in this fight of faith. We need everybody taking apart. Why? Because when they take apart, if you'll search out in the battle of Jericho, they were not to touch any of the spoil, but in the battle of Ai, God said every man is going to be able to fall upon the spoil. We need everybody in this battle. Don't just pick out the man of valor. Don't just pick out the ones we think are eloquent singers. Don't just pick out the ones we think can preach a message that won't offend anybody. Everybody will go home feeling fine and dandy, if you will. But let's let everybody get involved, so when the victory comes, everybody can feel a part and be a part of that victory. That's how God intended it. If you notice the second go around, I ain't going to jump the gun, but I'm going to give you just a little bit of a preview. The second go around, God gives the instructions. You know what makes us want to wish we'd never, would to God I'd have just been content and not have, I shouldn't have went as far as I went. I knew I was messing up when I did. Where much is given, what's required? Much. When you go across the Jericho, the waters have come back together. God says, don't look back. Any man that put their hand to the plow and looked back is not fit. Don't look back. We can't make this battle on our own. We got to have God going before us. We got to have Him fighting the battles going before us. The victory is much easier to get than it is to keep. I've made this statement. I'm going to close again. I'm going to make this statement. Mainly to Diane. I guess your wife hears a lot more than most everybody else does. But I made this statement before. Things be going on in a church, certain place, you know. And I'd say, well, I can tell you that preacher must not talk to God too much, or he'd know about that. He'd put a stop to that. I just don't see how that could go in a church where a preacher's preaching against sin. Well, was I ever wrong? Was I ever wrong? Somebody say amen. I was ever wrong. It doesn't make any difference how hard we preach against sin. It's not my place. I've known folks that I knew God had laid a message directly on my heart, and it grieved me to no end to preach that. And I knew it wasn't being received. Folks, you can't make anybody. That heart has to be cultivated before the seed will ever find root. You can put the seed out there, but until God gets a hold of that heart, it's not going to do nothing. It'll lay there. The fowls of the air pick some of it up. Some of it will even root a little for joy. They'll receive it. But before they leave, there's no root in them. And the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life will overtake. There's always somebody that'll help you see that seed doesn't take good root. And his name is Satan. And all of his imps, they'll help you. I mean, they're handy. They're handy. And you don't have to ask them to come. They'll come without anybody asking. They're intruders. And they'll push their way in. And if they can, they'll try their best to stop the Word of God from finding a lodging place. Somebody come get us a song tonight. I want to ask you, folks, we're fixing to see changes such as we've never seen. And I can tell you this, the only way we're ever going to make it, the only way Leo Dye is going to make it, is if I stay on my face before God. And I'll make it. I'll make it.